Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Thursday, 5 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Carmen Meperwani. I want to touch on that Santam-Sanlam deal with Germany's Allianz. Is it real? Is it significant? Is it going to be big? We're chatting with Riza Hendricks from PPS, Navigating Global Economic Cross Currents, and then Dr. Christy Fulon. I want to get their sense of the impact of Durban floods and how do we get our unemployment back below 30%. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. There is hope, says Mboweni, former finance minister, draws on years of experience. He was talking at the PSG conference. It's a really good read. You can disagree about the hope part, but certainly well worth the read. CNBC, Fed raises rates by half a percentage point, biggest hike in 2 decades. They also outlined a program to reduce its bond holding by $95 billion a month. And what the market really liked was Jerome Powell saying that a 75 basis point increase is not something the committee is actively considering. Morning markets talking about green. US, S&P up 3%, NASDAQ up 3.4%. In Asia, we've got Sydney up 0.75%. Tokyo still closed, this time for Children's Day. Commodities, lots of green. Gold, $1,902. Brent, $110.70 a barrel. Platinum, $981. Palladium, $2,281 an ounce. Rand, stronger at $15.46. Top 40 looking for about a 600-point green open. Call that 0.9%. And that is Tencent is trading up 0.33% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Carmen Meperwani. She is, of course, portfolio manager at Absa Asset Management. Carmen, the Sanlam deal announced yesterday with Germany's Allianz, effectively merging the non-South African operations. Sanlam gets 60% of the joint venture. Separately, Santam is selling its stake in Saham Finances to Allianz as well. Your take on the deal? A lot of big numbers, a lot of sort of exciting talk. Is it something that could potentially be really significant?
It's so hard to say. So let's start with the share price movement. Mm-hmm. We saw Sanlam barely moved yesterday, down 6 pips. So that is an indication. Look, the deal is being measured at about a $33 billion in total for the joint venture. I think, you know, when we do these joint ventures, number one, it depends on where you're going, and people are always wary of South Africa. Mm-hmm. But we know, not South Africa, sorry, Africa. But we do know that Sanlam is probably the biggest non-banking financial services company on the continent already. So it begs the question, then, what is the point for Sanlam to actually engage in this deal? Yeah. So we'll get the indicative comments about economies of scale, synergies, et cetera, et cetera. But they have indicated that they're looking to obviously expand their footprint, number one, keeping in mind that I assume that Sanlam is a lot bigger than Allianz as it stands in terms of number of countries that they cover. So I think it's about 29 countries that will be covered with the JV in total. And then obviously, as you know, Sanlam is getting 60%, so their earnings contribution in the 6 months prior to this announcement is swayed in that sort of direction. So yeah, it's such a difficult one, but I assume that it must be cheaper for Sanlam to engage in a joint venture than to actually go into the countries that Allianz is in, that they are not in at present, and attempt to get penetration there. But I'm hoping that for the consumer, it means better choice in diversification in terms of the offering and better product innovation as well. So it's so difficult to see. Obviously, the market thinks it's a misnomer. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what happens from it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be a wait and see. And I take the point, 29 countries, a lot of countries, but it always comes back to the point, it's 29 different jurisdictions, and that is often, I suspect, mm-hmm. the really, really hard part of it. A quick last question. We had Jerome Powell and his team last night raising rates 0.5%. No surprise, everyone expected that. Talking that there's no 75 points on the table, talking about setting down their bond hold. Generally, the market quite liked it. Your sense where the Federal Reserve is in terms of inflation, are they doing enough? Because U.S. inflation is, I mean, to coin a phrase, rampant.
Yeah, it's. I think we're in territory that we haven't seen in decades, number one. And they're trying to be cautious, you know. Obviously, the indication prior to the announcement was, is the next move going to be 75 bps? And as you've said, they've cautioned that that is unlikely. So I think the market appreciates that, number one. But I read an article yesterday that was focusing on what needs to be done and whether the Fed is actually, brave enough to do it. Is we can't sit at these low interest rates in the U.S., not with the current inflation roaring. So, you know, the term transitory has been thrown around quite often over the last few months. But it seems to be more than transitory. So, yeah, let's see. You know, in a world of war and a pandemic, you just never know.
No, that's a fair point. And I think the transitory word very quickly became transitory, as you said, out the window. Much like the Sunlam Allianz deal, it's going to take time to play out. We'll leave that there. Kamin Meparani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. Always appreciate the time. Our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter is just that. Is Jerome Powell and his team at the Federal Open Monetary Committee doing enough? Have your vote, have your say on LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chenny and I with Riza Hendricks, Portfolio Manager at PPS Investments. Riza, appreciate the early morning. And note that you put out just recently, talking around at the beginning of the year, the global economy, it looked like we were going to get above trend growth. It looked like that the challenges in terms of inflation were perhaps receding. Short answer, it kind of looked rosy. Suddenly a quarter on, the global economy looking a lot more of a challenging environment as we move through 2022.
Simon, thanks very much. Yes, indeed. You're 100% right there. I think last year, global markets and the economy, I think, was in quite a strong position and in a bit of a sweet spot. So indeed, I think some of the risks, there are decent, certainly some risks that have come about this year that are affecting both sentiment as well as market prices. We've got the Fed, as you mentioned earlier on, that mm-hmm. is in that tightening cycle. We've got the war over in Ukraine, that devastating war that is impacting markets as well. And then also China. China's also been in the news lately, quite a sort of tough crackdown in terms of what they're needing to do just to curb the spread of the virus. So certainly some risks that have come about, and we've seen some volatility come through in the markets as a result.
If you start to look forward, I mean, we saw Q1 US GDP at -1.4%. There were some, you know, some points around that, most notably about inventory buildups in the previous period. But how much can we expect the global growth to slow this year? I mean, from expectations, IMF is downgrading, and in some market quarters, there's even concerns around a recession potentially in the US. I mean, how bad could it get?
Yes, indeed. I think that is the big question, really, is as you mentioned, that it is coming down from a very high base, a very low base. I'm seeing very strong economic growth. And then coming out of that, not really just, and so we should really, sort of a mid-cycle slowdown, or can we see something more pronounced in terms of recession, as you mentioned? Certainly, we probably are going to continue to see growth, sort of low single-digit growth.
Mm-hmm.
And really it comes down to, firstly, how the Fed does continue on the path of rate hikes and how that sort of affects global activity.
Sorry, Risa, we're struggling with line. I suspect there's load shedding somewhere between us and you. That's Risa Hendricks, the portfolio manager at PPS Investments. We'll get Risa back at another point when there isn't some load shedding. Eskom struggling us in that regard.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Dr. Christy Fulun. He, of course, from PwC. Latest report out from them from April. Focusing on inflation. Christy, appreciate the time. I want to touch on inflation. But before we do, the KZN floods. And we're at the point now where it's sort of mopping up and the like. But it's going to have an impact. I mean, it's Itakwini, which is more than half of KZN's sort of economic output. Of course, it's the port of Durban. It's going to hurt us.
Most definitely. I mean, if for us as a country as a whole, it is a very important conduit for exporting, importing goods. Gauteng, which is our economic heartland, most of those goods get shipped down to Durban for export. We import so many goods from China, food products, commodities from the rest of Asia and also Europe coming in there. So it's certainly even a week where the port is not operating efficiently or as efficient as it was before the floods has a negative impact. We know there are some exporters of fruit products that are looking at exporting from other harbors in South Africa or even adjoining countries. So it's certainly a big thing to be concerned about, especially for a country where economic growth is already slowing down from last year's levels.
Yeah, and that's the key point. I mean, we're already in a tough place. And I mentioned that the inflation, your report was titled or subtitled Next Inflation Challenge, Salary and Wage Increases. Inflation, we're at the top end of the range. We've had the MPC doing the 0.25% increases from late last year. But the key point is that this higher inflation has now got higher expectations, and that seems to be working its way into the system.
That's exactly it. It's lifting expectations. So even 6 months ago, when inflation was not really a matter of concern, expectations for salary and wage increases were around maybe 4% for the year. Mm-hmm. Now it's more than 6%. And it's directly linked to this environment where regular South Africans are having to pay more for fuel and for food and a bunch of other things. So now they look at their employer to actually compensate them for this increased cost of living. And in roughly the week since we've published this report, we've seen so many news articles about new wage demands or increased wage demands. We've had labor issues and labor protests on Monday with the public holiday as well. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly a point of concern because companies that are stretched this way, that way, every way when it comes to their finances are now sitting with this challenge as well, which I think for many, it might have crept up on them because inflation has for probably the past 2 months been very serious, but at the beginning of this year wasn't really an issue yet.
And this is, I mean, obviously, the companies which are finding it a tough environment already, and we're not even mentioning load shedding to add to their challenges there. I mean, this has potential implications for our GDP, which 2021, the number looked great, but of course, that's base effect. And we're back to the sort of roundabout maybe 2%.
That's correct. So our baseline forecast is for growth of 1.8% this year. Mm-hmm. I think quite a few economists have lowered their forecast over the past 2 months, especially since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, because it's been such a big factor on the global mm-hmm. economic outlook and the global inflation outlook. Now, last year we had economic growth of 4.9%. Definitely, you know, it's a bounce back from the previous year's recession. It's certainly not a normal growth rate. But if you get down to something like 1.8%, then we're sort of moving back to where we were before COVID-19. And we have to keep in mind also our population is probably growing at 1.4-1.5%. So we're getting close to that level again where the economy might not be keeping up well enough with population growth. We had that for about 5 years before COVID-19. So this decline is a big concern for us in terms of job creation, in terms of inequality. So it shows us that our problems that we had before COVID, they're right back with us. COVID is past. Lockdown is gone. We're back to the big problems that we had that keeps our economy from growing quickly enough to solve our employment and our inequality problems.
Yeah, you mentioned unemployment there. Of course, that's one of our big problems. And one of the points made in the document is that, you know, you're saying that sort of 4% real GDP growth needed to really bring unemployment sub 30%. And that's just, I mean, we're just not going to get the 4%, which means unemployment stuck around the mid 30%.
Yes, so I mean, we're looking far ahead to see obviously where the country is going, let's say towards the end of the decade. And we're looking at the moment at an economic growth rate of about 1.5%. That would be our potential growth rate, given our challenges like load shedding and a bunch of other things. Now, if we grow at 1.5% a year, our unemployment rate is going to continue rising. The only way that we're going to get that unemployment rate back to below 30%, which is where we were before COVID-19, mm-hmm. is if we can grow this economy sustainably at 4% per year. And to get that done, we need to somehow get rid of load shedding. We need to improve the skills base in the economy. We need to improve private investment. So it's a big task. We as South Africans are resilient, and we want to believe we can do these things. But at the moment, the outlook is that with where economic growth is going over the next few years, that the unemployment rate is probably going to continue rising. And, you know, that carries with it all the other socioeconomic challenges that almost, you know, you immediately think back at July last year, the unrest there. It shows us that we're in for a tough few years ahead.
Yeah, a tough few years ahead. We haven't done 4% since the early 2000s under Mbeki Manuel as finance minister, of course, Mbeweni as head of the Reserve Bank. We'll leave it there. Dr. Christy Fullen, PwC, always appreciate the time. That's it for today. Yesterday we were chatting with Preston Aramsamy from Nedbank Private Wealth, talking around this interest rate decision, which of course happened last night. We'd asked what you had expected. Just over half of you said 0.5%, and that's exactly where it did come in. A third were looking for 0.25% increase, while about 10% of you said no change at all. And today we're saying we got the 0.5%. Is it enough? I mean, is Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve largely behind the curve on this? And my sense, and I've had some conversations with many guests, most notably recently Dr. Adrian Saville, around this, and he's saying U.S. rates should currently be 5%, 6%, maybe even 7%. Last time the U.S. had interest rates, inflation at this level, 8.5%, their interest rates were 15%. I got a sense that they are way, way behind the curve and that this is going to get messier before it gets better. But have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.